It either works out that I have to work it because it's just too busy.
Yeah.
Or like today, this morning, the phones just didn't stop. So there is a game to be played, and
Yeah.
I feel like I give back a lot more to keep people happy than I should. I don't think there is such a thing as being greedy. That's like telling Jeff Bezos he's greedy. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I know if you earn good money. Yeah, definitely. That's a good analysis. I like that. Anyway, let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
What got you into being an electrician? Was it something that you thought, right, I want to be a Sparky when you were sort of at school?
Well, I wanted to be a plumber and I said I weren't good enough. So
I bet you're like rubbing their noses in it now.
I will say hand on heart, I was quite lucky with how I became to be an electrician, because I was in sixth form doing a construction course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure everyone knows what sixth form is in the UK.
It's
like college, but at the school. Done a sixth form course, was coming to the end, and then they was all like, what do you want to do? And I said, oh, I wouldn't mind giving electrics a go.
Just off the cuff sort of thing. You never knew nothing about
and
it.
And then as by chance, a local company approached the school and said, we're looking for a plasterer apprentice and an electrician apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and done an interview. I think there was 20 people that interviewed, apparently, what they told me. And then I got the apprenticeship, which was quite lucky. People do say to me I'm lucky, and I go, yeah, you're absolutely right. It did kind of.
Sometimes people say you're lucky, but I don't think luck has to do with it. You position yourself in life.
I say to them that I had to one pass the interview, and then I had to do 4 or 5 years of the apprenticeship. And I said, You go from being in school with people your own age, kids being immature, to suddenly thrown in this work environment with old angry men.
Yeah, it's a different scenario.
That don't like you because you're an apprentice that doesn't ever want a screwdriver. Is it's still quite hard, but yeah, that's how I got into it. Done my qualifications, done my college, was grateful for it. I am happy that I've done it. It's always good to have a trade under your belt. But
right. Did you do the obviously the apprenticeship route? Yeah.
Yeah, so I done the apprenticeship route. So I've got everything apart from the 2391.
Right.
I don't have
the 2391 now.
No, so I don't know about now, but when I done it, I did query it, and we done a different testing module within the course, apparently.
Right.
But then if you go to someone like NIC, they would say, oh, we would prefer you to have 2391, but you can get through without it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Right, so they're just trying to sell you it, basically.
Yeah, and they went, if you want to go and do it, oh, how much is it? And they go, £1,000. And I'm like, I will.
Do I need to? Yeah, friend. Come on, man. Yeah. I'm all right, I'll save my money there.
That's it.
When you did your apprenticeship with a company,
yeah,
did you sort of stay with that company for a bit before starting up on your own? Or
yeah, I was with the. It's funny because the company I done my apprenticeship with was one electrician, and then there was me, and then there was about 6 bathroom fitters, all plumbers.
Oh, were they?
And we were the only, yeah. So then we
were the only Sparks.
Bathroom firm. They would go and fit all the bathrooms, which was nice because I got to learn a bit of bathroom fitting.
Yeah.
And then we would go around wire the kitchens, the bathrooms, the bedrooms. So it was very, very domestic, very domestic environment. Yeah. Once I passed, the electrician left, who I'm still in contact with now. He's my boss, my old boss, good friends of him. And then they were kind of like, right, he's leaving, so you can just slip in where he'd kind of
on you,
like, oh, okay. Like right in the deep end.
Yeah. What, when you just qualified as well?
I think he left. It may even have been 2 months after that the qualifications actually came through. But yeah, I'd kind of stepped in.
You didn't even have
your
piece of paper to say you were qualified, and they dumped it all on you.
I mean, electrics is easy anyway, Ben. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, it's three wires, isn't it?
Yeah, it's it.
This is the thing. What people think, don't they?
Yeah, but yeah, I stayed there for a good. I want to say I was there 7 years in total. I was there for a while.
Oh, what? So you took on the role sort of thing for 7 years?
I done the 4 years there, and then I think another 3 years of being the electrician, I think it was, roughly. And then, yeah, I left to do some other bits.
Right, so did you leave to start up on your own, or?
So I went self-employed for the first time on the new builds.
Right.
Now, this was my first introduction to the new builds.
What, subbing sort of thing?
Hey?
What, being a subby?
Yeah, so subbing to, so it was actually my boss that had left. It was a site he was on. I went and done it, and we was doing it all. And I turned around and was like, look, I said, for what you've got to put in and what we're getting back, I was like, it's not worth it. I said, I don't like it. I said, it's too much stress. And then another job opportunity come up from another firm. My friend messaged me and was saying, we're looking for sparks. And I wanted to get more into commercial and industrial at this point. Right. And that's what they'd done. So I went and done an interview. And then from there, I went to that firm.
And then got some more experience, obviously. Yeah, on
which is then when it all just went downhill.
Was it? What, because you didn't know industrial commercial?
It went like this downhill, and then it went like that when I went self-employed again, because I'll tell you the story. So this is kind of what led up to this self-employment. So right. I went to this firm. I had a six-month probation, and I broke my leg. No, sorry, I think it was a three-month probation, and I broke my femur 2 months into it.
Right. Well, at work?
No, I broke it go-karting outside of work. Right. Go-karting, can you believe it?
You should be in a little car and safe, surely.
I smashed that to pieces, had to have a big operation, and I was off work for 6 months. Now, before I tell you what happened, I've got nothing but respect for this company. I actually really like the people in charge. I think they're all great guys, and what they've got going is a really good. And from a business point of view, I would have done the same. But when I was out of hospital, they rang me up and said, look, we'll hope you're okay, but we are going to have to let you go. I was like, okay, right. Mm. Stung a bit, but okay, fair enough. I'm not going to be on.
Life happens.
Yeah, exactly. That was it. Yeah,
there's nothing you can do sometimes. You just got to carry on, ain't you?
Yeah, well, I had insurance as well. So that paid out for the FEMA. Right. So we was okay.
We did a job.
I think 4 or 5 months had passed and I was walking again. Obviously, had to be rehabilitated or whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went to another commercial firm. I think I was there for about 2 months. And again, I'm not going to say anything about the firm. I don't believe in doing that. What I wanted out of it and what they wanted out of me, we just couldn't agree on. So we shook hands. And I went a separate way and I said, yeah, good luck to you and good luck to you. And that was the end of that. Then I went to another firm.
Did a few jobs for a few people? Like, yeah,
this is
wise.
What I mean. So on paper, I look really unreliable, but there's a story to it. So I went to another firm. And the firm I went to, I got along with people in my department. I really liked the people in my department, got along with them really well. We was doing the generators. So that's where I got my generator kind of background from. Very demanding job. You had to do call outs, late hours.
Right.
We traveled all over the country. Scotland, if you had to go. I didn't go to Scotland, but they drove to Scotland.
Mm-hmm. They covered that area sort of thing.
So I had a 6 month probation there. And throughout the months, I was told you're doing really well. You know, you're actually picking it up how we like you to. Yeah. Do you have any? I'm like, no, I feel like I'm ready to actually go out now and do it on my own. Cause there was a lot of like, I had to be with someone. Cause obviously we're going into like somewhere like the University of Greenwich or movie sets and basically cutting all the power and putting a generator. So you need to know what you're doing. And it was like, yeah, no, you're doing really well, blah, blah, blah. And then 5 months into a 6 month probation, I was called into the office and they basically said, we're going to let you go.
For
what reason? The reasons that there was a bit of back and forth. I'm not going to say too much because they might come to me.
Not a bad mouth.
They're quite a big fan.
Right.
But I personally put it down to the workload not being as demanding as they thought it was when they took me on.
Right. So you're sort of the last in, first out in a way.
Yep. So they let me go. I got home, my tools were outside, they took the van back, and then I was upstairs. I told my other half, and she was like, you're really not having much luck. I said, no, I said, I don't know what to do. I said, it just seems like in this current climate, it's so hard to find employment. I thought being employed was the safer bet. Mm-hmm. And I had other job opportunities. People rang me up and said, yeah, I've got a job for you. I've got to come start with us, blah, blah, blah. And then I was sat at the desk, and then it was Hannah that came in and actually said, if you want to go self-employed, I will support you. And then I sort of like, I sat there and I was like, yeah, do you know what? I will give it a go. Oh, I'm going to go self-employed.
Why didn't you go self-employed before? Did you think it was too much of a risk?
So I always banked on employed roles being the safest bet for a comfortable life.
Right.
I'm not saying that isn't the case.
Mm-hmm. But your opinion has it changed?
The stint I had with employment, it just didn't. The cons outweighed the pros massively.
So
I thought, you know what? People are going to keep letting me go and I'm stressing about other people's money. I'm going to stress about my own money.
True.
And then within the space of 10 minutes, I thought of the cool name Quinpulse Electrical.
Yeah, where did Quinpulse come from then?
Quinn from the Quinetic Gear.
Right.
And then Pulse, because I thought Pulse sounded cool.
Right. So it's as simple as that. Yeah. As
that, Ben. Yeah. And you can probably guess the amount of times I get called Quinn on the daily, and I just go along with it.
Right. Well, yeah, I suppose it's your name, your nickname in a way.
Yeah. But I would just like to say all the companies I was at, again, business is business. I'm not by no means, I don't want to get in trouble with anyone, but business is business. So I understand why they had to do.
Yeah, things happen. Like, they needed to do. Yeah, let go.
But yeah, especially now running your own business and having to worry about that money, you do kind of understand a bit more.
Yeah. You see where they're coming from in a way.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. In my experience as well, I've worked for, it's got to be about 10 electrical companies. Even when subcontracting as well, you jump around, especially when you're subbing, because someone goes, oh, you get a pound more over here. Nice one. Drop your tools and go to the next site.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's, I suppose it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Like, subbies jump around, you can do what you want to do. I do much prefer being, I'd say a lot of my work at the moment is subcontracting to various different firms, whether it's maintenance or council, but when you get in with the right people, you can make a good living out
of it. Do you find that it's a bit more about who you know rather than what you know?
Yeah. I'm not
in all industries.
Yeah, I won't go too much into detail, but yeah, it was very much, especially with the council stuff, it kind of was who I knew. They knew me. We got chatting.
It's a trust relationship thing. I think worked out social really media well, helps with that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it worked out really well because I was hungry for it. I was like, look, I am reliable. I can do what you need. And then we
let me prove myself.
You kind of have, as I say, the plumbing work. This is the first of the plumbing works that's coming our way. So again, hopefully.
So do you do the plumbing yourself, or you took a plumber on?
No. So I've got, again, the beauty of working with kitchen and bathroom firms and getting to know people over the years. So this is a plumber I've known myself. He's fully qualified. He's fully reliable. So I will use people that I know who are reliable.
Yeah.
I'm not just going, yeah, I can do it for you, and then going, hello, is that so-and-so from so-and-so? Go and do a job for us.
Yeah. It's difficult that way because you don't know whether they're capable of doing it.
Yeah, it's people that I know will be capable, know the score, know how to act in certain environments.
Yeah, with the customer. Yeah,
they'll go and do it.
And also that are not going to moonlight and go, I could do this cheaper, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there is that kind of, especially with subcontractors, there could be that I could find out, oh, actually, that plumber I was using or that electrician I was using is now going direct. One, I don't think they would because my contact wouldn't do that. But if he ever was to do that, I could then just turn around and say, right, all these electricians, all these other, like, arranged to come and do work for you at such a short notice. No more. It's done now.
Done, you'll, like, yeah.
See them again.
Treat me, yeah. Treat people how you want to be treated in a way. So if the company looks after you, you look after them.
Some people will pay for that ease of stress, not being stressed, handing over to someone else. And then I'll go, right, yeah, I'll find someone, I'll sort it out.
The thing is, they will pay quite handsomely in a way for that
convenience. Just to not deal with the stress, yeah.
But did you anticipate, like, when starting upon your own, like, you thought, I'm going to be self-employed? Yep, easy. Did you anticipate the amount of paperwork you had to do?
Do you know what? There is an awful lot more I thought was going to be. Not so much. I've got an accountant I use every month. I hand a lot of it over to her.
So yeah, you dictate out to people to do your bits.
Yeah, so I'm not paying someone every day of the month because I couldn't afford that. But I do pay someone who I message and ring every now and again. And then once or maybe twice a month, she'll log into the books. She does all the CIS for the lads for myself. It's about, like I say, if you're going to do more paperwork, you need to step back and let the lads go out on site.
Have time to do it.
Which is annoying because it is easier being on site. I know people think it's nice to be in an office and just watch movies all day, but it's not. It's waiting there for a phone call. Suddenly someone wants
organising it all.
20 fans changing by 12 o'clock and you're like, oh, fucking hell, yeah. All right, we'll get that done. Don't
find someone,
yeah.
Did it ever cross your mind to think it was easier working for somebody else?
The first firm I ever worked for, probably.
That one,
after COVID, the benefits kind of went a bit downhill. As
people get a bit more cutthroat,
So then they started, they started like saying you have to be on site to this time. They're tracking the vans. They were noticing more of you were using the van. So all these little kind of pros and cons you had. I mean, as an electrician, like, you would turn up and do, let's say, like, you turned up to do a bathroom first fix and you were done by 12, 1 o'clock and there was nothing else on. you were self-employed, you'd probably go home. You'd be like, okay, yeah, it swings around about, so I'll go home now. Well, if you're working for a company, they want you to go back to the office, wash the van, get your
Do something else in stores.
Then the swings and roundabouts disappeared, where it was like, you would first fix a kitchen, it would get to 4 hour 4, and you have to get the power back on, but you still got another 4 hours worth of work. And they're like, no, you need to stay and get it done now. It's, and I'm like, well, no, that's, the benefits are disappearing now. There's no more swings
around. Yeah, I'm clocking off, mate. Yeah.
Can't do that. No, it was less stress. It was nice coming home and not thinking about things. And you did have the van and all that you could use at one point.
But it doesn't cross your mind enough now to go back, no?
No, I wouldn't go back.
Do you reckon you became unemployable?
I am so, what's the word? Distrusting in other people and other firms now of how
that you know you can do it yourself. And,
how they treat people, about easily they can dispose of someone if they wanted to.
Easily replaceable sort of thing sometimes.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I stress about my own money now. I don't want to stress about anyone else's.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's working. Sometimes it gets a bit too busy and you think, oh, it'd be nice just to clock off at 5 o'clock.
Gas a little bit, but
then when you think back to it, even as an employed person, when did you ever actually clock off at 5? Even when you're clocking off, you're still thinking about the network. I need to do this.
Yeah, you're never actually
clocking off. Do you know what I mean?
So personally then, if you were, say, a one-man band, what sort of work would you prefer? Domestic, commercial, industrial, data?
I would prefer maintenance side of things. Whether that's commercial, industrial or domestic, just maintenance. It is a good earner if you find the right contacts. I think when you say domestic, commercial, industrial, domestic, unless you're a one-man band, it does seem like everyone and their nan's an electrician, wiring rings into kitchens and stuff like that. It's a very hard environment, especially where I'm based, very hard area to kind of get in a door at a good price. Commercial, again, there's a lot of other firms out there that either have their hands in the right pocket so they can charge what they want to charge, or you have to go really steep, really down with the prices. There you are.
But, I like it. It comes on and off, a bloody thing.
Yeah, but you have to go really down with the prices. There's a lot of management that goes into it. Again, you have to step back a lot more, a lot of meetings. And the same with industrial. You have to, I think industrial is even worse.
Because all of them have got their pros and cons in a way then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of it from the top kind of view, the planning, you want this doing? Okay, we need to do that. I'm not so much thinking it as you're turning up on site as a subby for the day, which you can do. Some companies will pay for you to send a few lads in there.
Yeah.
The maintenance, you know, little bits like state agent council, retail stores, if you're just going in to change a socket, again, that's more about reactiveness and out of hours.
Convenience-wise, I suppose, yeah.
Exactly. And
you build up a relationship with that customer. Saying, I'll ring them up because they're good, they'll come out, yeah.
Yeah, the maintenance is, some of the maintenance we do, I wouldn't say is a great earner, but we get a lot of benefits from it. Some being call-outs, so we'll get call-outs on other days when we're doing things, and they're easy call-outs, really easy call-out, good earners, but
swings and roundabouts, you get some easy ones and some difficult ones as well.
Exactly.
But, so with Quinpulse social media then, you're obviously on a few platforms.
Yeah.
And you've grown quite a big following. And, well, obviously you're comfortable on camera as well, as you can tell now. But so what made you go into social media?
I want to see my OnlyFans.
We'll tag that along the bottom.
Tag that one,
So what made you get into doing all this on social media then? Because it is in a bit like another job sometimes.
I don't know. I've got ADHD and I think I'm a bit of a spastic. So I don't know. That's why I like being a spastic on camera. But I started the TikTok up the same day I went self-employed and started uploading more and more little bits. And I was like, I really like doing this. I like the content creation side of things.
Yeah.
It's different. You know, it's a different income source because it does can bring in different income from it. And it was like another bloody hell, this can actually work if I put some effort into this. And then the following grew. Facebook is growing slowly.
Things take a little bit of time, but they do grow over time, don't they?
If you look at some people, again, I won't mention no names because I don't know if they want to be mentioned, but there's some people out there that solely do content creation now. And it's their source of income and they do really well from it. And it just
I've spoke to a couple that do social media content, and they said we don't do normal work anymore. If you don't let us film there, we don't do the job.
That's what I mean. They'll be turning up to go, we'll do your job for free, and everyone's like, that's fucking amazing. Like, we just need to film, and they're like, go and do that. That's absolutely great. You've kind of got no customer at that point.
And they say it's a better earner as well than what they were doing before.
Yeah, and do you know what I mean?
You're not, that's an avenue.
You haven't really got to argue about payment if you're being paid from
sponsors and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's but yeah, I enjoy the content side of things. YouTube is something I do want to dive into a bit more. It's just obviously a lot more demanding.
Yeah.
But what I think if you're going to do YouTube, you kind of have to, you have to balance it out as electrician, plumber, or a business owner, and then content creation. At the moment, this is very much the business owner, me running the business, and then this is the content. If it would need to go like that for it to work.
Yeah, you can't just go straight into it. It's got to build gradually in a way.
Yeah, not burn yourself out. Otherwise, trying to do that and that, one's going to collapse and one's not going to work. It will be the content that collapse, but...
Yeah, well, that's...
I've got ideas of what to do. It's just, obviously, I've got other things like we're looking at putting a flat. That's why the places are shit. We're going to put the flat on the market and look in a house.
Right.
And then once that's done, I'll...
You have a thousand ideas what you're going to do in this new house then.
Well, that you say that, it's we've me and my other half have discussed things. There's always other ideas that I've put forward. One I'm not going to disclose just yet to anyone, but there is an idea I've got in mind which could quite work really well. But again, you have to put a lot of time into it. The content,
what sort of electrical install, or
it would be everything.
Right,
it would be everything. It's so far out of the box, but so
different.
Different that if you
unique,
put it on YouTube, and it does work because I've seen people do it, it would work quite well. But then the aftermath of what you can do with it after you even finished your series or whatever, would work quite well.
So that's something to stay tuned and follow Quinpulse about then.
That's it, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
But again, I would have to get the business thing and either keep growing that and then just let that stay where it is, or right, do you know what? I am gonna hit that a bit harder.
Yeah, but do you think it's nice having that option there in a way, thinking it might be quiet, so I'm going to do a bit more content creation, and sooner or later it may take over.
That's exactly what I do. I'll do bits throughout the week, and if I am in the office and everything's going smoothly, I'll go and make some content in the unit. I'll go and do things, TikTok and Facebook Reels and stuff like that. It's very easy to kind of do on the go.
Yeah.
And as long as you kind of get your head around the editing and that, you can do quite well with it. It's a bit demanding to because I upload stuff every day, and it is a bit demanding. But when you get your head around it, it is worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely. It grows. You basically, I don't know, you become a slave sometimes to the algorithm, they call it.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh, I only got 10 likes on that one. I've got 1,000 on the last one. And you think, shut up and leave it.
A phone across the room. Like, why
I made so much effort in that video.
You'll see a bowl of strawberries with chocolate get like 10 million likes, and you're just like, I don't get this. I don't understand.
Right? But should I do strawberries? It's the thing.
That's a good one. We'll do strawberries next. I'll just put strawberries on me and
yeah, there we go. Then there's nothing to do. But the thing is, your following you've grown is electricians, are people interested in electrical. So you probably won't get people interested in strawberries all over you. I don't know. Give it a go.
That's a good point to mention, because obviously it went from Quinpulse Electrical to Quinpulse Services.
Right.
The idea being we'll provide like more maintenance and counsel. If you want us to take care of it, we will. It wasn't so much we were going to go, right, we're going to build your house, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, because I'm not. I'll give you a number for someone who would do that. Do you know what I mean? Who will take care of all that for you. That's a builder. A builder will do all that for you.
Yeah.
We're more like, if someone rings up and goes, oh, we've got 50 properties that need the downlights changing, but then the ceiling needs painting afterwards, and I'll go, yep, we'll take care of that.
Can do that, yeah.
And we'll go and do that. I'll source all the people that need to go and do that, and we'll take care of that.
Well, you'll be one contract and you'll sub the other work out, maybe.
Exactly, yeah. But where I changed it from Quinpulse Electrical to Services, I didn't quite anticipate that my following was an electrical background.
Right.
So I tried doing other little things. Admittedly, things that I knew people would buy at as well. I think, that'd be good for review. But, yes. Electricians hate electricians. So as soon as you start doing other stuff, they hate you even more.
I know, yeah. Well, that leads me on to our next question. Through your training, it's renowned that, well, I've seen it before. I'll get comments on my own videos. People say, what are you teaching people how to do our job for? You'll lose us work.
Yeah.
Did you have someone that helped you along the way as an electrician rather than sort of didn't want to teach you?
Yeah, people saying that, oh, you're showing people how to do things so they won't call us in. They're not going to call you anyway.
Well, you're actually.
You know what I mean? The people that are going to call you are the people that have money and haven't got time for it. But the people that have got time but haven't got money, even if you're not showing it, they'll do it themselves. DIYers in your own house, they do what they want. Do you know what I mean?
Gas, exactly. And they give things a go.
Stop. they might look up and find a video of me showing, yeah, here's how to change a light switch. But if it's not my video, it'd just be someone else's video and someone else's video. 100%, and so
yeah.
Blaming that person for you not getting that light switch change doesn't make sense.
Or not getting that job to do it. This is what I find that a lot of electricians say. Like, don't teach people how to do our job. Well, yeah. What do you do? Well, mind your moan at the colleges, mate. They're teaching loads of apprentices. Yeah. This that's is the it. Thing.
That's what I try to say to people. The person that didn't call you up because they found it online was never going to call you up in the first place. It's, do you know what I mean? It's,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Even like, a lot of the content I get on, because I get a lot of hate on TikTok and Facebook, and some of the content I post, it's horror stories about customers, and it's horror stories about it. But you'd think anyone watching that, like as a customer, would be like, oh, I don't ever want to use this guy. I get loads of messages, people saying, we love how open you are. We love how
honest,
transparent you are. We feel like we know you. Will you come and do the works? And I say, yeah, absolutely. We'll come and do it.
Just don't piss me off because I'll put you on TikTok.
Or you're straight on social media. No, I don't do that. I won't do that.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah, we get good work. I wouldn't say, again, private. I push a lot of private away now. I don't advertise for it. Especially with this has been like a quite busy month, but at the end of this month, I imagine it to go a bit mad. So I probably won't be taking much private work on there at all. It might be like kitchens that we still do, or like small projects. If it's someone saying, can you change a light or something like that, it might be that.
Have you got someone to pass that on to, though?
Yeah, it might even be one of the lads I use. I say, look, if you want to add it to your private work at the weekend
work or something,
you can just go and do it. It's not really something. If it's something that'll slot in the day nicely with what else is going on,
If someone's in the area to maybe go swing around and change
the
lights.
If it's like £40 to come and put a light up, but oh, can I pay you £20 now, £20 at the end of the no, I'm not mucking around with that, mate. Just
it doesn't work. Oh no, it's a lot of hassle.
Yeah, for £40 it's
so I think I might know the answer to this, but from, I don't know whether you had a Black & Decker. I did when I first, not started out as an electrician.
I did have a Black & Decker when I was an apprentice.
Did
you? Yeah.
When you first started as an electrician, you used Black & Decker.
When I was an apprentice, that was my first drill, and then used
this
it.
This is the thing.
I was,
your mum and dad buy it for Christmas, and you think, wicked, it's a drill. It might be Black & Decker, but it doesn't matter. But what brand is your go-to brand now?
I've got a very anticlimactic answer to that because I'm not a brand snob as such.
Right.
It was just when I started, I had the Black & Decker drill. That's all I had.
Yeah.
And I had some Abua secondhand impact driver and a little drill. And then when the electrician left, he said, you need to get yourself some proper tools. And he took me into the old sales and went, right, he wants a Milwaukee combi drill and he wants a Milwaukee this and he wants some batteries. And ever since then, because I had the batteries,
I just
went back to Milwaukee. But I had this conversation the other day, like, because I see some people that use like Ryobi. Now, if you mention the word Ryobi on site, people are like, oh, he's a dealer. Stay away, don't go near him. Some of the stuff they got is actually decent, half the price. And I was like, do you know what? I might start a series of me using Ryobi gear and just see how it goes.
You only know how good it is until you test it, don't you? You actually put it to the test.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, go to, bro. I would say Milwaukee because I've got Milwaukee. But then if I have DeWalt drills, I'll go and get DeWalt. I'm not really, if it does the job and I make some money from it, do you know what I mean?
Right. So all the challenges you've been through, self employed, because I have seen as well on your content that you went through a stint with My Builder, which is what was a bloody nightmare by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Would you recommend other electricians to start up on their own, or would you say, look, sit comfortably employed?
It depends on if you've got a really good employer. I hear from other electricians who are employed saying they love it because they get a nice holiday package, dental care, booper care, van, and all this. And I'm like, yeah, stay where you are if you're happy, mate.
Yeah,
they're happy to give 5 days a week to have 2 days off at the weekend, stress-free, and their holidays and in the night, no bother. Some companies, not quite. They want you to do like 20-hour days on overtime. And at that point, I'm like, I know you're earning the money, mate, but your kids are growing up. You're missing them growing up. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not all about chasing the money. It's about living comfortably. And we're not all going to be millionaires. I think it was Jimbo that said that on one of your podcasts, actually. He said that we're not all going to be if you want to be an electrician, you're not going to be a millionaire.
Right.
You're going to be able to live comfortably to go and do other things in different avenues.
Yeah.
And that's stuck with me ever since, because it is a very true statement. Do you know what I mean?
You're not going to be a millionaire just being an electrician.
That's it.
If you have other avenues,
you could use that to either live a comfortable life, or you could use it to branch out into other sectors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because do you ever think when you were an electrician, you think, well, I'm going to do content creation as well. That'll in effect be another stream of income.
Yeah.
I didn't have all this content when I was a kid. Trust me, I'm a bit old.
It's weird. It's mad. I tell people about it and they're like, I don't understand it. I go, mate, it's 2024 now. It's just how the world is.
That's how it is, man. Yeah. But apparently, people go onto TikTok and look for answers just as they do on Google these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well. So they come up with a video and they'll start following you, thinking, hey, about it. Yeah, this guy teaches some good stuff.
Yeah, that is. TikTok is massive now.
Yeah. So if you were. Go back to your younger self. Say you could get a DeLorean, nip back to, I don't know, when you were a kid. Would you say to him, yeah, be an electrician? Or would you say, no, do something else?
I always say to my brother, I've got a brother that's exactly 10 years younger than me. He's 17 now. Right. And I always say to him, go and do an electrical apprenticeship or go and do a plumbing apprenticeship. I'm not taking him as an electrician. We argue too much. But
right, yes.
I might do. I don't know. My company's still quite small, but you never know. But I always say, get a trade, like gas, electrics. I said,
oh, you're
going to be a tiler or anything. I said, get something like that. Get it done. I said, then go and do something else you want to do. Whether it's, you know, because he likes his music. I said, well, do that first. And then maybe start doing your music. And, you know, if you want to do your YouTube and your music and stuff like that. I said, the reality of it is that...
You'll always have an income.
The reality of the other things, it's hard to make a living in that. But you've got something to fall back on. When you get to an older age, it's quite hard to then go and get an apprenticeship, then go and do it because you might have kids, you might have a house, you might have...
Yeah, you've got sort of... Yeah.
I tell people to make your trade now as well. I say, if you're going to be an electrician, I say learn to do like bathrooms or start building or just do... Everything you can build your own company
hands on because it will help you again. You get your own place as well rather than having to employ everyone,
yeah. And then you could get it to a point where you've employed everyone that you like that you know does a good job, and you haven't got to worry about people coming in to work alongside you don't like because they're your employees,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I always encourage people to, get a trade, electrics, gas.
So you wouldn't necessarily what trade would you sort of do if you could do it all again, or would you say sparking?
I would probably say. I had to pick one. I don't know if I want to answer.
What's that?
I don't know if I want to answer. I mean, the world's changing, do you know what I mean? But I always said, if you want to, I always say to people, go and be a gas engineer. That's what I say. I say, go and be a gas engineer.
How do you end this? You want to be a plumber? Get the...
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... You can make a lot of money if you're looking to do more in the electrical industry, maintenance side of things. But if you, as a sole electrician on your own, doing domestic, and a gas engineer doing solely domestic, the gas engineer is going to earn a lot more. Mm. I mean, even a plumber, I think a level 2 plumber is probably going to earn the same as you as well.
Well, I think that if you niche down as well as a plumber, like it's so hard to get hold of a like the oil. But the places that are off-grid, in effect, with the oil tanks, to get a plumber to do the boiler there. There's like one in this area that's recommended all the time. But he is stacked out. And I'm assuming he can charge what he wants.
But then they reckon gas is going to be done away with in 10, 20 years' time. And then it's like, oh, don't be a gas engineer.
Yeah, but there's still going to be houses with the bleeding gas engineers, isn't there, that need this sort of thing.
It might even become more expensive because less and less people are making parts. And
yeah, exactly. If you've got a storage where you've got a container full of spare parts, you can just stick them on eBay and make a living out of that.
Yeah. I mean, some people out there will be a sparky, then go and do their gas. And then they're like...
A lot of people do multi-trade, yeah.
Yeah, and they'll do the trade you need certifications for, and then once they've paid off all the debt...
Yeah, I know, give them the training.
Cream it in.
With all the social media sparkers, because obviously you've made a few friends, like myself, as a social media spark sort of thing, or social media electrician, if you went and bought a house now and needed a sparky, which out of them social media ones, would you say, can you give me a quote, please, mate?
That'd be Chris, wouldn't it?
Chris, yeah? Because you get on well with him.
Because we're friends and he'd do it for free.
Yes, this is the thing.
He wouldn't charge me.
So when Chris, you get your own house, you tend to hurt your leg.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, he knows his stuff, so.
And then also, we've got a few questions. I put a post up in my group on Facebook saying about, if you could ask an electrician that's built his own business from a young age and been employed before, what would you ask them? So I'm going to ask these questions, but some of them a bit crap. Like one of them, how do you fiddle the tax man from then finding out about us? You don't. Come on.
Yeah. All cash.
Cash, really, all cash, but then you still don't declare it. The thing is, if you don't declare it, it screws you up in the long run to get mortgages and stuff.
It does. This is what I say to people. If you live in a nice, big, comfortable house as it is, then maybe you might be able to get away with it. But
if you want to borrow, you might earn.
It's getting harder to spend cash as well. So I always say to people, put it in your bank, declare it. I said, and then you can even do. You put it all into your business, and then it looks like on paper, that's a really successful business. If you then wanted to go out and get a business loan or a mortgage on a unit to go into or rent it out or whatever you want to do, it looks better. You'll get more out of it. You know what I mean?
Having credit card, did it? They put your credit card limit up if you use it all the time. If you don't use it, you'll just sit at £1,000.
Well, what would you do with all that cash? You know what I mean? I know people say, I'll go and buy a Range Rover. I'm like, okay, well, now what? You've got a Range Rover. What are you going
to
do now?
But you can't. You can't these days. You can't go to... I bought a motorbike a little while ago and said, look, can I make cash? And they said, no, you've got to do bank transfer. You can't. Yeah. You can so much cash, maybe a couple of grand, but you can't do it all cash.
No. No, it is hard. A lot of people don't pay cash nowadays.
Sorry?
I don't remember the last time someone paid cash, to be honest. It's all... Bank transfers, and I'm not picky about it. I'm like, cash, bank, whatever you want to pay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not fussed. But have you ever been given checks lately?
No.
I've been asked, do you want a check? I was like, no, I do not want a check. I can't be asked to go to the bank for starters. That's a waste of time.
I don't think I would take a check, no. To be fair, a lot of quotes I do, it's usually like 50% up front or 20% up front. I know some people don't agree on it, but if you don't want to pay money up front, that's a red flag for me.
You're not going to pay the full invoice at the end, sort of thing. That's always
You want a bit up front. And in that way, even if you turn up and then they don't let you in or say, or they try and cancel the job, you're like, that's fine. But as per the terms and conditions, you won't be getting the deposit back because I've come out. You haven't told me 24 hours prior.
That'll make sure that they're home as well. Yeah. And they're remembering their bloody diary because they've put a bit of money into it. It might be a couple of hundred quid, but because they've put something down, they think, well, I don't want to lose that. So they'll make sure that they let you in or they're ready. They've cleared the bleeding room or whatever you need to do.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So how far would you go to keep clientele happy? I believe jumping through hoops keeps the client keen and shows reliability of customers returning. But what would your limits be?
That is a good question.
Clearing up. I ain't clearing up, mate.
Taking my boots off when I get in.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. Do you know, are we talking about...
different, I suppose, isn't they?
If we've turned up to a job and they've asked for 4 spotlights, but they go, we want 6, I'd probably put an extra 2 in at no extra cost. Mm-hmm. I would just do it. As long as it's easy to do, it's there, the floorboards are up, I go, do you know, no problem, we'll take care of it. That's on us. Keeps them happy, keeps them keen. If it's like a, I don't know, someone wants a pendant taken down and 6 downlights putting in whilst you're on a rewire, it's like, well, no, that is going to cost you extra.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, there's different scenarios.
It's down to experience, maybe, with working as an electrician, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a good one is if you say, like, you've just done a job for someone, maybe a rewire, and then they ring you up 2 months down the line and say, something's tripping, and you go, what's tripping? And they say, the kitchen sockets, I need you to come out and have a look. I mean, I tend to try and obviously die, like you probably try and diagnose over the unplug your kettle. Was it holding?
Yeah, can't be asked to go, really. Later, something silly like that, yeah.
If it's maybe a bit older, maybe, I don't know, 5 months, and they say that, and they go, we want you to come back out and fix it. You rewired the place. I'll be like, look, if I come out and it's nothing to do with what we've done, you will be charged. Whereas some people will probably go and do that. Like, oh, no, we want to keep them happy. I'm like, yeah, but you also still need to run a business at the end of the day.
Because some people think that then you're in your pocket, because if you do it once...
That's the hard thing with electrics as well. If you go and touch something on the lighting circuit, that's an RCBO, and then something's tripping on the... cooker circuit that's on an RCBO, they automatically blame you, and it's like, no, the science doesn't support that.
It doesn't work. This happened the other day. I was around someone's house and I put a socket in their garage, and he phoned me and said, my winch doesn't work, or his garage door thing doesn't work. So I thought, I didn't do anything with that. I said, if you plug something into it to make sure the socket works, the socket works, but I think the winch has been blown up somehow. Wow.
Right,
I didn't hear pop. Went round there, It's got a stop button on. You just
press and you run the
unlock it. I said, how do you not do that? We had a cup of tea.
If that was like 2 minutes from my house, I wouldn't have charged. But something like that, I might have been. Look, if I have to come out and it's not nothing we've done, it will be chargeable.
This is the. I think electricians assume that if they've had an electrician in, anything electrical goes wrong since they've left, it's their fault. This is the thing. It's a bummer. Right. So, how do I get into the domestic industry?
You don't.
You weren't having fun.
I want to be in there, mate. You don't want to be doing that.
Are you not a fan of getting in? Well, you've done domestics, though, or you do domestics, obviously.
Are we talking domestic, like, extensions, maybe new builds, or just little bits, or is it just, say, domestic?
I would assume it's just, like, obviously houses where people live rather than... Well, I suppose it could be a different thing, because you can obviously do new builds, but when I think of domestics, I think of people that live in the house. So the customer is the house owner, the owner.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say someone wanting to get into domestic, maybe on their own, not so much about building a business, maybe a small business with just themselves. I would probably say contact every firm in your local area, plus some, because you might get firms just outside of where you live that are close enough that you don't mind going to do like a first fix kitchen or something like that. Mm-hmm. Get your numbers out. Maybe if you've got a rate in mind of what you want to earn for a day, or maybe you've got an hourly rate, send that out with it. If you're more into pricing your jobs, because sometimes people like to go and price it, just send that out as well to all your local firms. And then get on like the Facebook groups and stuff like that, and get on Facebook groups. That's going to be where you find your
little
bits, like your light changes, your socket changes. You can build, obviously, your Google business, a Google account, a Google website. You can build a website for free. I would probably advise... I'm probably getting a bit off track here. If you're just going to be a small local electrician, I would say Facebook is enough. Contacting all your local firms is enough. And then, to be fair, that's probably going to give you enough. Like all the Facebook groups, that's probably going to give you enough as one individual to keep you going.
Right.
Keep you happy. With, you know, the builder's going to have first fixes for you to do and second fixes and...
Yeah, to start out to get you in, to get a bit more experience, maybe as well. And then,
if you wanted to grow from there, maybe you were like, do you know what? I actually do want to grow. If you were a business trying to do domestic, but with lads working under you, my honest opinion on that is it's not going to work. Not unless you're going to branch into maybe a bit of commercial and a bit of council, a bit of maintenance and stuff like that. Something that's a bit more, or new build. Some people will take on new builds, not so much for profit, just so that when they ever got enough private work coming in, they'll put the lads on the new builds.
Yeah,
so they're still paid for. Yeah, it's I don't think the domestic industry for electricians as a business is the biggest earner for private work. Not like like gas firms or building firms. Like builders, they're always busy because they'll get a job and it'll be 6 months worth.
Yeah, so they've got 6 months to find the next job.
Exactly. Yeah. Like even plumbers, I feel like plumbers, they get enough boiler changes and if you've got a leak, that needs fixing there and then. If your socket don't work, no one cares. They're like,
sometimes they leave it for years.
As an individual, that's what I would do. If you're gonna go any bigger than that,
And then also with you're getting busier and busier. Like you say, next month it looks anticipated to be busy as well. How do you work out the work-life balance? Because you've got to live as well. You want a bit of a life.
Yeah, so...
You got any hobbies?
Fishing.
Fishing, I thought it was, yeah.
I like fishing. I'm going fishing this week, actually. I'm going away for a few days with some mates. Like I say, I have every Tuesday off. That is a work day, but my other half currently has Tuesdays off, so I have it off with her. But it is a work day, i.e. if I have to work, I will go and work. If phones...
Yeah, it's planned. You don't book anything in on that day, like...
Yeah, exactly. But if phone calls come in, if I have to go on the laptop, I have to go on the laptop. But Tuesdays, I'll have them off. And then depending on how busy the week is, if it's busy enough... So now I've started sending lads out on jobs more than myself.
Right.
Rather than me going to do it, because a lot of the guys, they are their own business. They're subcontractors, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They've got their own stuff as well. So I'll say, do you need me this week? I'll say, not this week, mate. They go, okay, no problem.
Right.
I've started giving out more days to people. So, and you go and do it. Even though I'm not earning as much, but then the idea being that if it does become major busy, I'm still step back, sending other guys out to do it. So the money is still coming in. Yeah, so that work-life balance, because I'm not out on site as such all the time. Do you know what I mean? if you was on site taking phone calls, you're going to burn yourself out. It's not good. Not to that degree of the phone calls coming in.
Give yourself a bit of time then, maybe.
Yeah. Weekends, I don't tend to do weekends anymore. If there's a weekend job, one of the lads will go and do it. You just got to allow time yourself. Because there are nights sometimes my phone will go off and then Anna will go, will you put that bloody phone down? And I'm like, I have to answer it.
It's a bleeding call out. It's probably 500 quid.
If it's like, I don't know, Stephanie from down the road and she wants a socket changing, what's the price? I'll reply in the morning. But if it's someone like, you know, like a maintenance or a council contact who's like, you know, we had them ring up, their power's tripped, I'd be like, yeah, we'll go and sort that out. Don't worry. Luckily, that don't happen too often. But, but yeah, work-life balance, it depends what you want. Do you know what I mean? What you want out of it. I would say don't work weekends, but if you're going to work weekends, have time off in the week.
Yeah.
If you do plan to work every single day, you can't be out on site answering calls. It won't work. You will burn yourself out.
You need to have a bit of time off to do yourself. Yo, like I say, it's work-life balance as well. You need to have a bit of time off to recharge, I think, in a way, to still love your job. Otherwise, you're going to end up hating it.
Even the content side of it. Sometimes you have to step back from the content. Because I do enjoy doing the content, but you do it so much and so much, and it'll get to like 9 p.m. at night, and you'll be like, "I fucking hate doing this."
Yeah, I'm dying.
You have to put it down. Yeah, because it does. Yeah, it does. It becomes a chore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, work-life balance. Like I say, just I wouldn't work weekends. Maybe have a day off if times are getting a bit too much. Have a day off. Go and have
take a step back.
A week off if you can afford it. Go and have a week off to recharge if you can.
Even if you're not sometimes, like in the summer holidays, I used to have a week off and just have my daughter for the week and piddle around doing stupid little things, Legoland and things like that.
Yeah, sometimes I'll have a day in a week where they'll be out doing something. I think one day I'll have like an EICR and then nothing else on, and I think I'm not going to book anything else in on that day. I'm going to go back to my office here. Mm-hmm. Do everything I need to do, but at my own pace. Maybe I'll have a cup of tea. Maybe I'll, make sure everything's in line. Materials
are paid for. Sandwich.
Invoices are sent off. Everything's up to date.
So people that might want to find a little bit out more about Quinpulse, or even like ring you up and say, look, I've got a maintenance contract I want you to take care of, where would be the best place for them to find you?
In maintenance and stuff like that, Google, if you type in Quinpulse services, will come up. It's a very professional looking website. Go and have a look.
Stick a link in the show notes as well so they can find you easy.
Yeah. But anywhere, TikTok, Facebook, anywhere we've got social media presence, you can.
Have you got a link tree?
I've got a new one now called Seamless.
Right. Have you got a Seamless tree then?
It's like Link Tree, but I think they're trying to be the next Link Tree. And they went, do you want to give it a go? And I said, yeah, that's all right. But yeah, there's a Seamless Link Tree in the TikTok bio.
Well, we'll stick all them down there as well.
That's more in relation to content. You'll find a lot of like the tools that I use and I recommend and where you can find the best deals and stuff. Like the website is on there, but because that's more on the TikTok side of things. A lot of people that go on TikTok to view the content aren't necessarily customers. They're just people that are interested.
So whereabouts would they find the OnlyFans?
That's where they'll find the OnlyFans, mate. That's the one there.